First of all, I would like to thank the organizer for this beautiful workshop and for giving me the opportunity to present this work here. So we are back to the field of mathematical models and numerical simulation, and in particular we will focus on drug release in the vascular system. This is a joint work with several people: Carlo D'Angelo, Professor Luca Formaggia, Sara Minisini, Christian Vergara and myself. We are all members of the Lab of Modeling and Scientific Computing at Politecnico di Milano, headed by Professor Quarteroni. Part of this work is also a collaboration with another group, which is the Laboratory of Biological Structural Mechanics, always at Politecnico. So, the main subject is drug release in the vascular system, but of course this is quite a complex topic with several aspects. In order to organize it, we propose this subdivision. On one end, we perform a local analysis, and in particular we focus on a specific application, which is drug-eluting stents. On the other end, we adopt a more global point of view, and we try to analyze what happens if a drug is injected in the vascular network and how it propagates in the surrounding tissue. For the first part, stents involve several aspects, in particular mechanics, drug release, and the interaction with the drug and the surrounding artery. And we will go in detail into these points. For the second, we will have to consider blood flow in a network of vessels, perfusion in the tissue, and as well mass transfer. So let's come to the main body of the talk, with will involve drug-eluting stent, and let me address a brief introduction to this kind of devices. So what are stents? Stents are very tiny metal structures which are introduced into arteries in order to keep them in place after an angioplastic procedure. An angioplastic procedure is a procedure that is performed on atherosclerotic arteries, which are arteries where, because, roughly speaking, of deposit of fat and cholesterol, the arterial lumen has been severely reduced. In those cases, so a procedure is needed, and stents are there to keep the artery in place for a longer time than a simple angioplastic intervention. The problem is that sometimes, because of the presence of an external body into the artery, some abnormal reaction takes place, and the healthy tissue of the artery grows abnormally. This is called restenosis, and we are back again with the problem of luminal reduction. For this reason, to fight this phenomena, drug-eluting stents have been introduced, which are stents coated with a very thin layer of, for instance, a polymer that can release a drug. This drug is in general an anti-proliferative agent which prevents the multiplication of smooth muscle cells into the arterial wall, which is the origin of restenosis. So, of course, these kind of devices involve many aspects. First of all, they are complex mechanical objects, and we have to study this point in order to recover the final configuration of the stent inside the artery. Starting from this, we analyze both the mass transfer and the fluid dynamics into the artery. For the first case, we have to face off two main problems. First one is how the artery is transferred from this very tiny layer covering the stent to the surface of this layer, and then how does it interact with the arterial wall. Secondly, observing that the stent is completely covered by this layer, we notice that there is also drug transfer from the stent to the blood flow. And by consequence, we want to analyze if some drug released into blood flow will interact downstream to the stent with the artery. And finally, also, we will add at the end this global analysis in order to understand, for instance, but there are several other applications, where the drug goes and how it distributes later on the downstream vascular network. And this analysis will be also useful to see what to do if the pattern of the stent is too complex to perform this very local and detailed computational analysis. So let's start from the mechanical analysis of the stent and of the arterial wall. This part of the work is indeed in collaboration with this second lab of biological structure mechanics. We modeled the artery as a very simple cylinder of dimension relative to a coronary artery, because this we are talking about coronary stents, which is a specific type of stents. There are many other types that we do not consider in detail now. We can also think about a very simple idealized model of an atherosclerotic plaque, which is represented as a further restriction into the artery. The difficulty in this case is to quantify the mechanical properties of the plaque. This is very difficult to measure and to model as well, because the plaque is very heterogeneous in most of the times. Concerning the arterial wall, the situation is somehow simpler. We describe the mechanical behavior of the arterial wall as an incompressible, isotropic, hyperelastic material for each single layer of the artery. Indeed, we have seen that the artery can be split in several concentric layers, the intima, the media, and the externa. And for each layer, thanks to a beautiful experimental work of Professor Hobzapfel, we can provide the characteristic parameter for such model. At this point, we are ready to perform a mechanical analysis of a stent expansion. Will look like something like this, describing the stresses of the stent and in the arterial wall. And then we perform the drug release. This is just an overview of what we will see in detail. For the mechanical analysis, a very important point to obtain a realistic result is to model the contact problem in between the stent and the balloon, because initially this stent is folded around the balloon that is used to perform the angioplastic procedure. And so we have to take into account two contact problems, the one in between the stent and the balloon, and then one in between the balloon and the arterial wall. Both are important to determine the configuration. This is done by simulation done by labs. And what we are interested in, apart from the mechanical analysis of stresses, of course, into the stent, into the artery, is the final configuration. So the geometrical configuration of the open stent and of the deformed arterial wall. We see here three colors, which correspond to the three layers that we have modeled into the artery. From this point, we are ready to go in detail into drug release. And we start from the basic principle that governs the release of drug from the polymer, which is this greenish layer covering all the filaments of the stent, and the outer medium. So the drug release from a polymer can depend on several phenomena. First of all, we have diffusion, but we also have different phenomena involving the polymer itself. Indeed, the polymer can erode. That means that it lost volume, so it breaks down into monomers that will be lost in the surrounding tissue. But a polymer can also swell. That means that the polymer chains do not break down, but because of absorption of water, which permeates all the medium, the polymer chains just separate, and this helps the release of drug. In principle, all this phenomena takes place simultaneously into the coating. However, they might have a different characteristic time according to the polymer type. And so we can classify the drug release as diffusion control, erosion control, or swelling control according to this. In particular, we will analyze the easiest cases, which is diffusion control release and erosion control. To elaborate a model for this is a bit more complicated. So the first step to describe the drug release from a polymer is to consider that the drug initially, it is casted into the stent as a solid. So we can imagine crystals of drug in between the pores of polymer chains. So we have to model at first how the drug passes from the solid phase to a dissolved phase, which means the drug dissolved into the water solution permeating of the medium. In order to do that, we need two types of concentration, the concentration of the dissolved phase, the concentration of the drug in the solid phase, and another important parameter will be the saturation concentration of the drug. So the model describing the phase transition, if you like, is has this form. It consists of evolution equation describing the fact that starting from the initial state, the solid concentration decreases in advance to the dissolved concentration, which increases up to the saturation level. This model is not new, of course. It has been studied since the 60s, and an important point for our further analysis is that under some simplifying assumption, it has been provided an explicit approximate solution of such model, and this has been done by Iguchi. This is a kind of milestone in drug release models, and we will use it later on. Concerning drug erosion, the first thing to observe, concerning polymer erosion, the first thing to observe is there are two types of erosion. The first one is surface erosion, that means that polymer can erode only on its surface, and so we have a kind of free boundary problem. On a simple one-dimensional case, the movement of the boundary, the regression of the boundary, if you like, will be described by a simple law where the displacement of the boundary is proportional to time, and a proportionality coefficient, which is B, that is called erosion velocity, that in some cases is determined by experiments. On the other hand, we have bulk erosion. Bulk erosion is an erosion that takes place in the whole volume of the polymer, and it is involved by the cleavage, the breakdown of polymer chains that deliver monomers that can then diffuse into the polymer, and they are not more in the solid state. So in order to take into account of this, with respect to our original model for drug dissolution, we have to add up a new equation, which is derived by means of a stochastic model describing the probability of the breakdown of polymer chains. We observe that we have a new variable, the monomer concentration, which affects the previous model of drug dissolution. So, these are the, let's say, basic models for that describe how the drug is delivered to the outer medium. Second problem is to describe where the drug goes. So we have to couple the former models with new models for the interaction of the drug with the actor. And for this point, the first thing to observe is, again, the drug can assume different states into the artery. The first one is the classical state where the drug is dissolved into the water permeating the tissue, but we have also different states where the drug is attached to some specific sites into the extracellular matrix. And so in order to describe this kind of interaction in between the free drug and the, let's call it bounded drug, that is C, we have to account for the density of these specific sites that is called B. So we have a kind of reaction in between the free drug and the free binding sites, giving the new drug concentration C, which can no longer diffuse. And we have also the inverse equilibrium, where C can break down into A and B according to two equilibrium constants, T1 and T2. So starting from this situation, we can define some governing operators in all the regions of our problem. So on one end, we have the stent coating, which is again this tiny green layer. And for simplicity in this case, we assume that the release of drug is just diffusion control. We are forgetting about dissolution for a moment and erosion as well. On the other hand, we have the diffusion and transport of the drug into the artery. Indeed, the free drug can diffuse into the volume of the artery, but it is also transported from the inner to the outer part of the arterial wall because of plasma filtration, which is driven by the difference of pressure from the inner side to the outer side. And then we have suitable boundary condition of all the interfaces and the artificial section that is isolated this portion of the artery from the rest of the vascular system. To this advection diffusion equation, we have to add a reaction term, which directly comes from this kind of reaction. Involves the concentrations A and B. So starting from these building blocks, we set up a model which takes into account that also the phenomena is time dependent, so we have a system of parabolic equation, of evolution equation with diffusion, if you like, that we have to first of all study and discretize. The first thing to we point out is that there are different couplings. First of all, the coupling in between A and B, which are connected by means of the reaction term appearing here, and also here in the equation for B, which is just an evolution equation. We do not have diffusion for B. The coupling in between A and B, and D, which is the concentration in the coating, by means of the interface condition in between the drug, in between the coating and the artery. I forgot to talk about that. I will just have a brief look. Interface conditions are the following that connect the coating and the arterial wall and just prescribe continuity of the concentration and all the fluxes for mass conservation. Final point is that we should also take into account of the drug release into the blood, as I said, which is due to the fact that there is a part of the stent which is exposed to blood, we can see it here, and releases drug. So we add to the previous model a new equation, which is a newer classical advection diffusion equation in three dimensions. For the drug concentration into the blood flow that we call AF, and coupled to the arterial wall by means of suitable coupling condition in between on the interface in between the artery and the blood flow. This condition typically takes into account of the resistance for the penetration of the drug from the blood to the artery enforced by the endothelial layer in particular. So this is the model that we would like to apply for the numerical computations. But let us open, before doing that, a parenthesis on the analysis of this model, because it has some interesting features. Well, first of all, a quick glance to existence of a solution, that means that this model is meaningful. We can prove that there exist two sequences of functions, which are lower solution and upper solution of the previous model, that converge to a single limit. Lower solution converges from below, upper solution converges from above. Of course, it is easy to think that this limit is indeed the solution of the problem in the strong sense, so we are talking about solutions which are differentiable in time and space in the classical sense. That is indeed, of course, can be proved that because the solution exists and it is unique. But the interesting feature of this system, it is that it is a system of semilinear reaction diffusion equations. And a classical property of such equation is that sometimes they feature traveling waves. What are traveling waves? In one dimension, for instance, are solution of the system which simply propagate by translation. So in the mathematical sense, they are solution of this form. This is a common property. For instance, the easiest equation to look at this traveling wave is the Fisher equation, which describes the propagation of a gene over a population. And the behavior of traveling wave is the following. We start from an initial state, which is highlighted in red, and we see that this state propagates over the domain. Numerical simulation performed on our specific model for drug release, in particular drug dissolution and drug transport into the artery, shown that the model that we have set up do behave in the same way. This is, for instance, the simulation of the drug dissolution. So the red plateau is the concentration of the solid drug. The blue plateau is the concentration of the dissolute drug. And you see that the solid drug is consumed by means of a wave propagating from the outer surface of the polymer to the inner surface. And a similar behavior can be observed, we will see later on a movie that this is quite evident, also inside the arterial wall. So what is the point? The point is that there is a common feature in between this model that it is important to account for, to think about numerical schemes, but also it will be extremely useful to perform an analysis which provides the expression, if possible, of the propagation velocity with respect to the characteristic parameters of a problem. For instance, the diffusivities, the initial concentration, and so on. This would be a very synthetic and important question for medical doctors to understand how fast the drug release propagates. And this work is, this is indeed an ongoing work on that. So, final point about modeling is that we talked about blood flow and plasma filtration in the arterial wall, so let's look at the models that we apply. For blood flow, we assume that in a coronary artery, the blood can be considered to be Newtonian, so we apply the classical incompressible time-dependent Navier-Stokes equation. And for filtration of plasma through the artery, we describe the arterial wall as a porous medium, and so we apply the Darcy law of filtration. We observe that both equations have time-dependent input data. For the blood flow, we have the inflow velocity, which is pulsatile because of heartbeat, but also for the filtration of plasma, we observe that the pressure jump from the inner to the outer part of the artery depends on the pressure variation, so on the heartbeat. So there is a first difficulty in view of the numerical discretization that is the presence of multiple scales in time. Indeed, we observe that this equation depends on a very small time scale, 1 second, the characteristic time of the heartbeat. But if we want to study drug release, we have to take into account of a very long time scale, which is, in general, days or even weeks. So a naive approach would lead too many time steps to account for the small time scale on the long period. So the very easy solution, the very easy way to work around this is to average in time such equations, so consider a stationary flow according to the mean flow over the pulsation of the heart, and the same for the pressure. This is what they did for the simulation that I will show, but a possibility could also be to apply some kind of projective integration in order to separate the two time scales. But there is another big difficulty to handle above that, which is the presence of multiple space scales. Why? Because the stent is an object of about 1 centimeter, but the coating is very thin, is about a few microns thin. So of course, if we think to handle the previous system of partial differential equation and discretize it with finite elements, and in a naive way, accounting for the coating and the arterial wall equivalently, we would end up with a huge number of elements because the mesh size into the coating would be extremely small. So, of course, this approach is not affordable if we want to study realistic geometries of the stent. And so we have to somehow reduce, apply some multi-scale approach, and in particular some model reduction, in order to override this difficulty. Our idea for model reduction is to observe that the coating is extremely thin, and by consequence we can neglect, and by consequence the normal derivatives in the normal direction with respect to the coating thickness will be much higher than the tangential derivatives of the concentration over the stent surface in the tangential direction with respect to the coating. According to this assumption, we can propose a reduced model for each point of the stent surface, which takes into account of the normal variation of the concentration. along the coordinate in the normal direction, which is called z. This is not, of course, a new idea. It is indeed the idea that has been applied by Higuchi in order to derive this explicit approximate solution. What is the basic principle? Imagine that this is a section of the coating with some thickness, and this is the normal direction with respect to each point of the stent surface. What Higuchi assumed is that the arterial wall, the external medium, behaves as a perfect sink, and the coating is an indefinite slab extending on the opposite side of the interface. This assumption can be translated into boundary condition for the one-dimensional model for the concentration inside the coating. And then, since this model is one-dimensional and the boundary conditions are constant in time, we can apply separation of variable and compute an exact solution. And starting from this, we can differentiate, so apply the fixed law and compute the flux of drug that is released at each time. This have this expression. We observe that the release rate, let's call it release rate, depends on the parameters of the problem, the diffusivity of drug in the coating and the initial charge of the drug, and scales as 1 over the square root of time. What are the limitations of this model? This model is indeed quite reliable for small time scales because the assumptions made by Gucci are verified in this case. But of course, it cannot be applied for a long time scale because we easily observe that the drug release is not bounded over time. So over weeks and months, it will release an infinite amount of drug, which is not physical, of course. So what we did is to propose a correction in order to improve the limitation of the Higuchi model. First of all, we assume that the thickness of the coating is finite. Correspond to the few microns that I mentioned, and the concentration into the arterial wall is not equal to zero, but has a given value. However, in order to be able to compute again an exact solution, we have to assume that this concentration, the external concentration A, is quasi steady with respect to the variation into the stent coating. This is somehow reasonable if we think that the volume of the coating is very thin, is very small with respect to the volume of the arterial wall, and so a change into the coating will affect very slightly the arterial wall. Starting from this exact solution, we can compute exactly the expression of a Dirichlet-Neumann map of this operator. That means that starting from the external value of the concentration, again, we can compute the normal, the flux of drug that is released. And applying the law that because the fluxes must be equal on the left and on the right of the interface, we end up to a Robin type coupling condition in between the two subregions. And let's see how do we use it. We started from a model where we had a full equation for the stent coating that we could not discretize because the domain was too thin. Then we can replace this equation by means of the boundary condition that we derived, accounting for the coating, which is a Robin type condition which perfectly fits to the advection diffusion equation for A and B. And this condition lives on the virtual interface in between the stent and the coating. This interface is virtual because the coating is no more there. We do not need to discretize it. And so this is the model that we are able to discretize and that we use for numerical computations. Let's give a brief look to the numerical discretization. We applied standard finite elements, discretize A and B, with a fixed point iterative method to solve the nonlinear problem. For time advancing, we use a classical implicit Euler scheme, but we have, but even if we average the blood flow velocity and the pressure pulsation, we have to take care about the time stepping because the simple Higuchi model tells us that the drug release is very fast at the beginning and it progressively slows down. By consequence, if we apply a constant time step, we will have to make too many steps to reach the end of the simulation. And so we is very convenient to set up an adaptive time stepping. Our idea to do this is to use the information that is given us by the approximate Gucci formula and set up a kind of a priori adaptivity strategy. The idea for this strategy is to that we want to compute the time steps in order to release into each time slab the same amount of drag. The consequence, since this formula is easily inverted, we end up with this procedure with a formula that gives us the time steps, and we observe that these steps increase proportional with respect to time. So the steps at the beginning will be smaller than the one at the end, and the increase is linear. Of course, this is an approximation because it derives from the approximate model by Gucci, but numerical computation showed that even if we apply our improved model, this strategy is quite effective. So, let's come to the results. First of all, we analyze what happens into the arterial wall. So, the starting point is the portion of arterial wall. We just made a cut to visualize it. And the presence of the stent is just given by the print of the stent on the artery, which is this red ribbon here. So starting from this, we can compute the drag, the propagation, the distribution of drag into the arterial wall over time. And we see that there is really a propagation phenomenon starting from the stent to the inner part of the arterial wall. This is has some positive and some negative aspects. This was the free drag, and this is the drag bounded to the tissue. So the point is that this kind of behavior has some positive and negative aspects. The positive ones is that since the drug binds to the tissue, this increases the residence time of the drug inside the artery. The negative point is that the drug is not uniformly distributed. That is what doctors would like to see. So it is one conclusion could be that the shape of the stent is not only important for the mechanical properties, but also for the drug release. And this is not yet taken into account by producers. But let's go on and see that starting from this kind of data, we can also, at the post-processing level, compute different quantities, which are important at the biological level, which is the drug dose, that is a kind of a cumulative concentration over time at each point of the arterial wall. So the total quantity of drug that has been flown at each point of the artery, and the residence time of the drug. These two quantities are important to quantify the a possible toxicity of the drug into the artery. Let us now come to the interaction of the drug, of the stent, with the blood flow and the corresponding drug release. In literature, concerning, of course, the flow perturbation of stents, big attention has been given to how the stent perturbs the wall shear stress in the neighboring of the stent struts. Our point of view is rather different because we want to see how the drug perturbs the flow in the complete three-dimensional way, not only focusing on the arterial wall. And what we see is that because of the complex shape of the stent, there are many secondary flows that appear around the filaments. What do I mean? Is very easily seen by this simple example, which simplifies what happens. What we did here is to take a simple cylinder and to consider a single ring, which is an extremely simplified model of a stent. And what we did is to twist, is to analyze the case of a ring orthogonal to the flow, and to twist it by 10 and 20 degrees. What we observe is that in the case of ring orthogonal to the flow, we have a recirculation downstream to the ring, which is a stationary recirculation. recirculation. That means that the path line in the recirculation just close, and the particle will keep turning on the recirculation. If we twist the ring of some angle, we see some secondary flows appearing in the outer plane section. This is visualized by the fact that the streamlines are like spirals now. And the this fact is more evident for larger twisting angles. We see that here there is a vortex, which an outer plane motion in this direction and in downward direction. And this vortex, at this twisting angle, is not closed anymore. This has an important consequence of drag release, because, you know, let's explain here, the drag that will be released by this single ring will be trapped for some time into the recirculation, but then it will move at the tip of the vortex and be transported in the mainstream. So the point is that some drag is released into the flow, but it moves because of the secondary flows far from the point where it has been released, and it is quickly transported away by the mainstream. So what we observed in this realistic complex geometry is that there is a drug concentration in the arterial in the blood that could interact with the arterial wall, but this the permanence of the drug is too short to be effective at the level of the artery. On the other hand, for the portion of the stent which is directly in contact with the artery, there is an effective drug release which penetrates over the whole depth of the wall. So, this was everything about the first application concerning drug-eluting stent. Let me now come to the second case. That is, as I said, a global analysis of what happens if we inject, for instance, a drug into a vascular network, and to see how this drug interacts with the surrounding tissue. This is mainly the work of Carlo D'Angelo, at the PhD work of Carlo D'Angelo at EPFL, supervised by Professor Quarteroni. So I said what is the aim of the project, but of course the difficulty is to manage the complexity of the vascular network. The idea of Carlo was of course to separate the scale somehow, so we subdivided the vascular network with an assumption in two separate scales. On one end we have the capillary matrix, which can be treated by homogenization leading to a three-dimensional model. This is what we call the model for blood perfusion. And we have the small vessels that are again treated with model reduction, giving rise to some kind of one-dimensional model that describe blood flow propagation and the propagation of a chemical into this into a single portion of a vessel. In order to do this, in order to set up such models, we introduce pressures in the vessel and in the surrounding tissue of the vessel that are called PV and PT, and the corresponding concentrations for mass transfer that we call UV and UT. UV is the concentration inside this branching vessel. UT will be the concentration of the surrounding tissue, highlighted here with some blue colors. Of course, these terms will be coupled by suitable, let's say, coupling terms that I will analyze in detail. Let's see what happens for the flow. So, the derivation of the one-dimensional model for blood flow is well known. There are many experts here that have done this. We follow the way proposed, Carlo followed the way proposed in the previous work in the group of Quarteroni, and he ended up with a system of hyperbolic equation on the mean line of the vessel, describing the evolution over space and time of the pressure and the flow rate. This equation is coupled with a kind of time-dependent Darcy equation into the surrounding tissue. So, for instance, if there is an overpressure into the vessel, there will be a leakage of blood, of plasma, propagating into the tissue. And this is accounted by this coupling term phi, which is proportional of a direct measure lying over the mean line of the vessel times a proportionality factor, which is indeed the difference of the pressure by multiplied by a kind of permeability of the arterial wall. We observe that we are not allowed in this model to account for the pointwise value of the pressure in the tissue over a line, so we have to consider an average value of the pressure over the surface of the vessel. By a similar procedure, we derive the model for mass transfer. So we average a three-dimensional advection infusion equation over a tube in order to obtain, in each section, in order to obtain a one-dimensional equation for mass transport over the vessel, and we couple it with an advection diffusion equation in the tissue. The coupling system, the coupling terms are similar to the previous case. We have a term proportional to the difference in concentration multiplied by a Dirac, which is lying on the which is lying on the line describing the vessel in this three-dimensional external medium. An interesting point for this model is that the analysis at the mathematical point of view is not completely trivial. So I would like to just highlight what are the difficulties and what is the result. The difficulty is to handle a forcing term which is a Dirac measure for the Laplace equation, for instance. And this makes that the solution is not standard, is not we cannot look for a solution in the standard H1 Sobolev space, the classical space for diffusion, for instance. So we have to set up weighted spaces that are that encompass functions which are less regular than H1, according to this regularity parameter alpha. And using these spaces and functions, we can set up again a almost classical variational formulation, where we seek of a function, a solution u, what is it? Here, in the space H1 alpha, and with a test function v in the space H1 minus alpha, which is more regular than H1. So the duality in between them is satisfied. The existence of a solution can then be analyzed in with a kind of a generalized Lax-Milgram lemma, which is also called the Banach-Babusnan-Echas theorem. And of course, in this setting, we can prove the existence of a weak solution of the model. So the model is completely meaningful for the mathematical point of view as well. So we can now think of the discretization applying finite elements. So we see here, so first of all, we set up a three-dimensional computational mesh for the tissue, for the piece of tissue that we want to study. And we can describe the vessel of network as a collection of edges inside this three-dimensional mesh. So this will be the path of the vascular network that we can study, any path in between the edges. Since we had that difficulty that the test space in the variational formulation was not equal to the search space, we have to set up a proper analysis for the finite element. This can be done in the framework of the so-called subcondition. And finally, a further difficulty that we have already seen for drug release is that the presence of multiple time scales. We have the blood pulsatility inside the vessel, which has the scale of seconds, but the filtration inside the tissue is much slower. So the idea of Carlo was to use a time step for the equation in the tissue, which is a multiple of the time step into the vessel, and couple these schemes with a kind of multi-rate procedure. So what is the result of this? We have here a piece of tissue, a cylinder describing any piece of tissue that we like. We have a pattern of a branching vessel here. So we can simulate the dynamics of the pressure wave propagation. We do not see here now because we are in diastole, but now we see the pressure propagates over the vessel and the effect of the increase of leakage over the tissue. We can couple that with with the mass transfer in order to, for instance, release some drug. We see here how a drug or any chemical transported by blood is diffused into the surrounding tissue. Finally, some perspective of this work is that the following. Imagine to have a stent. So let's go back to the stent application. Imagine to have a stent like this one, which is a real stent on the market, which is so complex that it will be very hard to set up a very detailed approach as we did. For instance, we can think about a model for drug release from this stent, applying the tools developed by Carlo and describing this stent as a sequence of segments embedded into the arterial wall, which will be able to release drug. So, also for stents, we are able to make a global analysis, a local analysis that I described at the beginning, and a more global, multi-scale analysis applying this kind of tools. So let me come to the conclusions, which are twofold. First of all, what I would like to stress is that if we like to study such a complex phenomena, we see many examples of them in this workshop, we have really have to make an effort in order to be able to describe some local effects on the global macroscopic scale. This is what we did in different ways in what I presented. On one hand, for this problem about the stent polymer, which was too thin, so we described the effect of the stent polymer in a global way on the arterial wall, which is also what Carlo did in order to take into account of the capillaries and the vessels in over a tissue. A second point that I would like to stress is that drug release and in general pharmacokinetic models are very attractive for applications. What we did has been presented for stents, but mainly the same model can be also studied to study the drug release from bone implants that are coated with anti-inflammatory drugs that help to recover after the surgical operation, and also for drug release targeted for tumor growth, for example. So thank you very much for your attention.